One of the things we're seeing has been what some companies are referring to as their digital watermarking, which is the ability to literally take a multi-channel approach, use a cell phone. So in other words, the cell phones are actually taking people within a physical store environment and having them interact online without having to manipulate keyboard with something embedded either into a poster, a piece of marketing, or what have you. This week, there was a very interesting announcement out of Digimark out of Japan. And what they are doing is their digital watermarking is actually supposedly invisible, or at least extraordinarily difficult to detect. They use a digital mapping where they take an image on something, including what they were talking about, which was a drink coaster in some bars they have in Japan, and they would have an image on the coaster, and they would embed their coding onto that. So what literally they do is the customer scans that with their cell phone. It brings up a code off of the coaster. The code then is translated by client software on the cell phone to correlate to a URL. So instead of it having a URL there, which would just go to that site, this way companies can change where they're going to. So this week I want you to go to this page, but next week I want you to switch it and go to that page. So it's actually a code that goes in there. And we've also seen Neo Media do something on that. The difference between the two is Neo Media is more of a micro dot, almost a small barcode approach where it's visible and you scan it, whereas the Digimark is more transparent, more invisible. Paula, I know that you have been looking into some of these issues and how it impacts customer service in general and the ways to cleverly get around the separation on multi-channel. Have you heard any other examples of this, or do you see where some of the other customer service angles are going?
No, I mean, I think clearly North America is pretty far behind Japan when it comes to the use of mobile technologies. By all accounts, cell phones are used, I believe, for payments even in Japan right now.
We talked to Digimark. They specifically said right now today this would not work in the States, and it's not just the proliferation of cell phone issue. It is specifically, they said, that the cameras, the visual, the lens in the cell phones in the States is remarkably inferior to those in parts of Europe and in much of Asia. So they said literally the cameras in the cell phones couldn't support this today in the States. They're hoping that'll change in 2 years, but absolutely, it's a very different environment over there.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I've seen demonstrations of this watermarking where you take a photograph of the barcode, and it gets transmitted out to a website. And I talked about this some last week, and I know there was a general sense it's quite far in the future, but I'm kind of clinging to this the way some people clung to RFID, if you will. I don't think it's that far away. And the challenge for retailers is going to be, how do I engage my customers instead of having them go out and do price checks? And that's the area I see as the biggest challenge. And it's not about one-to-one marketing. You talked about these coasters, which take you and basically create entertainment. So how do I create some kind of compelling in-store experience that keeps me from just checking from just checking prices elsewhere and turning stores into showrooms? I see that coming relatively, I won't say tomorrow, but probably before we see a lot of ROI from something like RFID. Cell phones, it's maturing so fast, and the prices are going down so rapidly that it won't be long. And what we often miss out, because most of us are kind of geezery on this phone, with all respect, is that young people have no problem with this at all. They use their cell phones ubiquitously. So, I see it as a must-have, very disruptive technology for retailers going forward. Very disruptive.
But I think the retailers will actually slow it down a little bit here in the States, mainly because of that, not wanting to have access to their competitors outside, for the most part. I mean, as old geezers as we are, retailers tend to be slower than that. So I think we're going to have a situation where in Japan and many of the Asian countries where this is starting, the people over there are adults, are nuts about texting messages. Over here in North America, we BlackBerry, we don't text if we're in the corporate world. And essentially, it's the same thing. It's just that it's a QWERTY keyboard. But the youth in North America are all over texting. And that is clearly the future. So I think in many ways, in Asia, it's done because it can be done and isn't this cool. I'm not sure in retail in North America it'll be taken advantage of as cool very quickly.
Yeah, again, it's going to be the customers that lead this charge. It's not going to be the retailer. Just like you see retailers scramble to get better at multi-channel because the customer is there. The customer is on the Internet. The customer is doing product discovery on the Internet. The customer is doing price comparison on the Internet. And so you've seen a lot of scrambling for people to become, you know, retailers to become Internet kind of, I don't know, Internet ready and Internet enabled. I think that you'll see the same kind of scramble at some point with this.
Well, yeah, that's an excellent point, except when I think about retail segments, you're really looking at specialty stores where that will be deployed rather than in, say, the Walmart, Kmart type place as well as the grocery, drug and grocery outlets. And the reason for that is the business model, other than Walmart, the business model for most supermarkets out there is really they're selling real estate to the manufacturers.
Yep.
They're not into customer service for the sake of delighting the customer so that they always come back. There's a handful of them, people like Publix and Trader Joe's and Wegmans, and we talk about them all the time, and their earnings are fabulous as a result of it. But the vast majority of them are really renting space out to manufacturers, and the manufacturers really have no interest in facilitating that kind of technology, and thus will hold them back.
I actually think that the retailers most at risk aren't the specialty stores. It's the remaining department stores. Because that's exactly who you're going to do your price comparison with.
Right.
You're going to be in a department store, which is designed effectively to be little pod showrooms for all the various and sundry manufacturers. Now, sure, there's an influx of private label, but then you're going to take a look at some product attributes and say, well, here's this nice khaki pair of pants, and it happens to be, you know, just to use an example, it happens to be the Inc. private label for Macy's. What can I find out there that has similar attributes, that a similar fit in my size?
Right.
And if, in effect, unless you're very, very fashion unique and fashion forward, either you're going to be able to look up somebody like a Jones or look up a Reebok pair of sneakers that you found in a department store and see who's got a better price, or you're going to be able to be in the Gap, for example, and that's not a department store, but it's the same principle, and say, I've got these khakis in my hand. Who's got the same kind of look for a better price? And if you think about how all this stuff is sourced, I think it's fair to say that the product specifications are not secret, you know.
Yep.
And so knockoffs are probably pretty easy to find. And that becomes a, you know, again, I hear what you're saying about the specialty side, but in my mind, the sector that's at greatest risk behind supermarkets for almost extinction is the department store.
Yeah, without question, they have more problems than anybody at this point.
And they're the ones. I mean, I had this conversation with one very. It wasn't Macy's. You know, it wasn't the largest. It was one very large department store who said, "Well, we're never going to use cell phones for checkout." And I said, "It's not about checkout. It's about you becoming a showroom for Amazon who might be selling Nordstrom things, and Nordstrom is selling the same labels you are." I mean, there's a real issue there, and how do you differentiate yourself? How do you compel the customer to stay involved?
Paula, what did that particular retailer say when you said that?
Oh, he let me just say that I got his attention. What was disconcerting in a way is that he hadn't thought of it. And as much as I like to think I'm the smartest person in the world, I'm not. And it's something that this is something retailers need to be thinking of, that in fact these things can happen. And you always have to ask the question, is what I have so unique that I can afford to be arrogant about who my competitors are and what my competitors are? It's a really critical question, because most of the time the answer is no, with some very few exceptions. And I know people talk about Zara all the time. It's a very idiosyncratic exception to the retail rule. The retail rule is most everyone doesn't have anything that's all that unique. And so you have to differentiate on some form of customer service. And these tools that are now in the consumer's hands kind of empower them to a point where they can, they call it what it is. You know, this is not customer service. This is just convenience for the retailer, not convenience for me.